Welcome to the Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Dr. Jill Carnahan, who is an integrative medical doctor in Boulder, Colorado. And Jill and I got connected because of an article she did in one of the holistic newsletters on mold toxicity. And so I called her up, and we decided to do the radio show because she treats a lot of biotoxin disease. I treat, of course, mold and breast implants, which is often biotoxin disease. And we also want to talk today about functional defects, genetic defects in detoxification that, if you have silicone implants, are likely to cause people or women to become ill with chemical toxicity. Welcome, Jill. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Susan. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you want to tell the listening audience a little bit about your background and how you got interested in integrative medicine?
Sure, I would love to. So I always knew I wanted to get into a profession of helping and healing, and I knew there was more than just drugs and surgery even before I went to medical school. So I kind of went into the allopathic profession with a little bit different mindset, knowing that I wanted to learn really good science-based medicine, but also know, you know, nutrition and wellness and how do we prevent disease and look at root cause. And at that time, when I first started medical school, I did not even know functional medicine existed. But what happened is when I was 25 years old, I suddenly got the diagnosis in my third year of medical school of breast cancer. And as I'm sure you well know, in young women,
And as you know, in young women,
it's a whole different disease, isn't it?
It is. It's often very aggressive.
It is, and it was in my case as well. So I had a very, very aggressive tumor, and of course, 25 years old. So I went through surgery, I went through chemotherapy, went through radiation, which I will, question or regret that, but that was very toxic to my body, of course.
Yes.
And so I feel like the last 15 years I've been rebuilding my gut and my body and my health through integrative and functional medicine, nutritional principles, genetics, and really looking still at the root cause of why did I really get that and how in the meantime can I restore and recover. And that definitely, even though I have this passion for, looking for root cause and nutrition and wellness, when you live this stuff yourself, and I know you have yourself
in some
areas
as well.
It's a whole
different story.
So that really catapulted me into learning about functional medicine and having a passion for helping people heal from chronic disease, just from, you know, living it at a very young age with a diagnosis that could have killed me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about breast cancer. I've been treating cancer here since 1999 when Dr. Bergeron and I started Avatar Cancer Center. And we look for root causes, anything that lowers the energy of the breast, and we do that with muscle testing, applied kinesiology. And some of the causes are really obscure but very common. Like, for example, geopathic stress is very common. Hormonal is very common. And emotional is very common. I ran into a friend of mine yesterday in Bed Bath & Beyond. I hadn't seen her in many years. She's a dentist. And she has stage 4 breast cancer since 2009. So we were doing muscle testing. She'd had chemo that day. And we were doing muscle testing on root cause. It wasn't emotional. It was electromagnetic. It was radiation. And it was generational curse. So we can talk about these different causes, but generational curses have to be removed. They will continue to cause breast cancer unless they're removed. I can't remove them myself, but I'm fortunate to be in a meditation group where we can remove them as a group. So you might, if you want to talk about what we found here in root cause of cancer, it's anything that lowers the energy of the breast. And as a surgeon, I started to culture fibrocystic disease. You know how fibrocystic disease is tender? Guess what I found?
Yes.
Staph. In every case, staph, sometimes methicillin resistant. Now, you know very well that any infection in the breast will lower the energy. There's a guy in Italy that says all cancer is fungus. Well, that's not exactly true. A lot of cancer is fungus because the energy is lowered so low that fungus grows in the tissue. But it can also be parasites. Hulda Clark, I interviewed her on this radio show. parasites are very common. And in one patient I had, she was way out, but she still had a tumor. She didn't want to get it operated on, but she still had a tumor that wouldn't go away. And the main reason she still had it is we hadn't treated her for parasites. There were parasites in that tumor. Mildew is big. Dr. Overman found mildew in a lot of prostate cancer. And if you have chemical toxicity mixed with mildew, you often get leukemia. And I muscle test all my breast implant patients, and I had one who was testing for Mildex. And I said to her, I said, I think you're at risk for leukemia. And she says, I was just tested for pre-leukemia. So,
wow.
You know, you can really, really narrow this down. So it comes down to, most of the time, it's emotional. Now, that's just most cases. And, you know, Dr. Hammer's work, I'm sure you're familiar with that. The biological conflict where if you're right-handed, the left breast goes down. If somebody who is supposed to nurture you betrays you, your right breast goes down. If it's somebody you're nurturing or a pet you're nurturing that gets in trouble. And then geopathic stress, I find in about 50% of my breast cancer patients. But I was talking to Burton Goldberg the other day, and he told me that there's geopathic stress in 70% of cancer patients, which means usually if you move your bed or sleep on the other side of the bed, you can get out of the geopathic stress line. I mean, it's real easy to fix. Electromagnetic is real big in recurrent cancer. We find, Dr. Cowden recommends a Faraday cage, which you can buy for about $1,000 that you can put over your bed. He also recommends turning the breakers off in your room. And definitely getting away from, you know, Wi-Fi in your bedroom and stuff like that. But, you know, the electromagnetic that I find is often cell tower. In other words, they're near a university or near a complex or something, and they have a cell tower. So that's harder to get away from, and you might have to do a Faraday cage. Toxic chemical, of course, those are the plastics and the hydrophobic chemicals that collect in the upper outer quadrant, and 85% of the breast cancers are in upper outer quadrant. So, you know, I, as a surgeon, I used to go in and cut that stuff out. You know, you can see it really well, so I just cut it all out because it's not supposed to be there, and really decrease somebody's risk of cancer. But then I'm a surgeon, okay, so, you know, I was doing that preventative. Let's see, what else? There's more obscure causes. A lot of women with breast cancer have high uranium levels, and Dr. Staninger just sent me a really good detox program for uranium, because before I didn't really realize how you could get uranium out of your body. And then, of course, in California, they're getting more radiation from Fukushima. And then, of course, medical radiation, that's the real big one. Digital mammograms are incredibly dense. So, you know, you have to look at all of these things, and then you treat the cause. So that's how we do it.
Yes. Yeah, in my case, it was really clear. I had really poor detoxification. I grew up on a farm with heavy pesticide exposure.
Oh, yeah.
And I had
dioxin.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and even more atrazine and glyphosate were really heavy.
Right.
And I have actually tested. I have off-the-charts levels. So all of
wow.
that toxicity really played into that. And then in addition, as you know, the gut and the brain and everything is connected. And I, without knowing it, I had celiac disease. And so that played into it as well. As far as the gut health and probably microbial imbalances, like you mentioned, pathogens and things like that. And, you know, you mentioned something really interesting I found with mycotoxin in mold exposure, which I know is part of our topic today. There's a profound effect of the electromagnetic radiation. Dr. Kleinhardt did a study, where he had a shielded colony of mold and measured the mycotoxin, and it was just a normal baseline. And then he did one just under a regular router, and it was 600 times the production of those mycotoxins. So you can imagine if you're internally colonized or exposed and you have some in your lungs and your sinuses, that you get into a place where your bed is next to the smart meter or these kinds of things, that mold mycotoxin toxicity really gets exponentially aggravated.
Yeah, Dr. Sheely did testing of a lot of the electromagnetic protection devices, and I don't know if he did all of them, but he did a lot of them. He said the Q-Link is very good, you know, to protect your cell phone, and you can also wear the pendant, and I wear the pendant, put it right over your thymus. But my Morgellons patients, do you treat Morgellons?
I do.
Morgellons patients have a very, very interesting electromagnetic problem. Many of their houses are extremely, anywhere where there's electromagnetic stuff, all the fibers and everything gather. And they have weird, weird electromagnetic things around their body. And, I mean, it's just very, very strange. I've ended up with 100% cure rate of Morgellons. You want to know how?
Sure.
This is wild. Yeah. There are three diseases that are fourth dimensional intrusions into the third dimension. Schizophrenia, obviously. Morgellons is a fourth dimensional intrusion into the third that can be blocked with Abilify. And Abilify is antipsychotic, but it's like Risperidol and Abilify are the two that don't have a lot of side effects. In fact, they're Abilify is being marketed for insomnia, depression, and whatever, anxiety. So I put anybody who can tolerate it, which is mostly anybody who's not really in their 80s. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any Morgellons patients in their 80s. So anyway, I put my Morgellons patients on Abilify, slowly rank it up to whatever they muscle test for. And as long as you do the detox and treat the mold and treat the Lymes, I have 100% cure rate. But if they go off their Abilify, within 4 days, the disease comes back. So guess what the third disease is?
What?
Cancer. That's why generational curse. So in the literature, there's a lot of studies, 5,000 schizophrenic patients. The psychiatrist noted that none of them had cancers that got worse. In fact, their cancers got better often with no treatment. There was a Canadian stem cell researcher dropping a thorazine-like substance on cancer stem cells, and they reverted to normal. So a lot of patients will respond very well to Abilify. Isn't that interesting?
Amazing. That is
amazing.
Fascinating.
You have to know the cause. The cause of cancer is a fourth dimensional intrusion into the third. That's why generational curse exists. I mean, there's books on generational curse of cancer. I mean, you know, I have them in my library. So people have noted that, you know, generations get cancer. And so that's anything that's a curse is a fourth dimensional intrusion into the third dimension. So anyway, that's little known stuff that, but it's in the medical literature. I mean, there's a study of a bunch of schizophrenic patients that have a very low prostate cancer rate, much lower than expected. They're all on antipsychotics. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting.
Yeah, and other psychiatrists have told me the same thing. They've noticed that cancers went away with no treatment on antipsychotics, okay? And some have published case reports. Because they didn't know. I mean, but no doctor can really figure it out. You know, how they said Morgellons is a type of schizophrenia. It's not. It's not at all schizophrenia. I mean, the patients are kind of a little bit crazy because they're so sick and the disease is so weird. They act a little obsessive compulsive sometimes, but they're certainly not schizophrenic. They're not delusional.
Absolutely.
But it's, So anyway, if you just do that with the Abilify along with your detox, I mean, you've got to treat, probably most of your Morgellons patients either have a intracellular infection or they have a mold exposure. The families usually have really bad mold exposures, like where all the kids have it and everything.
Yes.
The house is just really toxic. Yeah, so, but that's it. That's how you get rid of it, and it's 100%. I mean, it's really amazing. It's great because you can control it with functional medicine, but to really get rid of it is really hard, you know, as you know. So anyway, you want to talk a little bit about mold and how 25% of the population can't get rid of the biotoxin?
Sure. So what we know is that exactly, there's a huge piece of genetics, like with so many other things, with biotoxin illness, which could be from Lyme, from different toxins produced by fish in freshwater, and from mold exposure like mycotoxins. And this is a, you can be tested through any major lab, usually LabCorp, Quest, the HLA-DR typing. And there's several of them that are really high risk, because what it means is that innate immune system doesn't know how to process antigens well. So it's basically a deformity of the antigen processing system. And when these patients get exposed to toxins, their body accumulates them and they don't really know how to get rid of them. So one way we get patients well from mold exposure is to really enhance detox and elimination of these toxins and help their immune system calm down. And it's interesting because there's a real commonality between Lyme illness and mold-related illness and some of these things, because mm-hmm. they all have this innate immune system that goes totally haywire and creates an inflammatory response. A few things unique about mold would be like obviously the fatigue and weakness is not unique. Headache, light sensitivity. They often have brain, like poor memory, losing words, dysfunction like that, difficult word finding, difficult concentration. And they'll especially notice that as they get out of the exposure and start to get well, if they get re-exposed, it's a pretty immediate reaction. Patients will start to know their cluster of symptoms. It could be a headache. It could be the horrible memory. It could be all of a sudden a sudden dark, depressed mood. Mold definitely affects the brain. So there's very common depression, anxiety, there's been several documented cases of suicide after exposure. So it's pretty extreme in some people. And then
it's really a GABA deficiency. That's what I find. If we give them Gabatrol and other GABA along with the cofactors, they get a lot better on the anxiety.
I love GABA, but it's
deficiency.
Exactly. But that won't really fix the innate immune system difficulty, so you still have to go back and, but I love GABA, totally agree. And then they'll usually have some immune deficiency issues, so they're more susceptible to infections because the mold attacks their ability to fight off infections. And the respiratory sinus and cough kind of stuff is real common as well. So they may have shortness of breath, sinus infections or congestion or chronic cough. And like you said, you can often find this because you'll have multiple people in the same house. But the interesting thing is that's deceptive is sometimes there will be, the mother and the daughter are really sick and the father and the son are fine. And that's the genetic piece. Where not everybody who gets exposed has issues. And it definitely affects the gut. So you can actually ingest mold as well as inhale it. And that will cause permeability issues, so inflammation. You can have diarrhea, you can have bloating, and you can have all kinds of infections and overgrowth and dysbiosis in the gut. One really unique thing that your listeners might find interesting is the static shocks. So patients who
ADH deficiency.
So the ADH drops, they get salt from on their skin. They're almost like if you were to test the sodium on the skin, they're going to have that excess of salt, and they become kind of a human battery.
Yeah, you can give them DDAVP, 0.2 milligrams, before they go to bed. And I often have, when they have mold in their breast implants and their chest wall and we do surgery, we stir everything up, obviously.
Exactly.
Plus we put
they
them on antifungals, and that
better,
stirs everything up. So I have to muscle test to see if they need Cortef and DDAVP after surgery. Before I figured that out, they were getting super dehydrated, as you could imagine, low blood volume because they don't have enough salt from the adrenal insufficiency, and then drinking. I mean, the water's just going through them. And, of course, they're on Demerol, so they can't, they're sleeping. They're not drinking all day long. They get terribly dehydrated. They end up in the ER with IVs. So I figured that out and really treated the endocrine issues, and they quit going to the ER so frequently. So
it's amazing how bad they can be intracellular dehydrated. I mean, you're right. They can get so profoundly. And they can't drink enough to, you can't reverse it with just water at all.
No,
it's
very interesting. Yeah, well, you need ADH. And one thing that's very important, Jill, and I'm not sure you know this, but do you know when people have a severe ADH deficiency, they bleed profusely in surgery as well as spontaneously? Dr. Shoemaker had this disease, and when he would go in mold buildings, he'd get nosebleeds. He was the one that says, sicker quicker.
Exactly.
The sicker quicker thing, We have a question from Catherine, if you'd like to take it.
Sure.
Okay. Catherine, are you there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
I recently moved back. Can you hear me okay? I recently moved back to a moldy climate. Uh-oh.
Yeah, we can hear you, Catherine.
I don't know if you can... Okay, I recently moved back to a moldy climate, and I noticed a craving for alcohol. And when I lived in a dry climate, I was happy to just be a health food nut and yogurt and everything. I was wondering, are there any remedies, anything I can do? I know I'm allergic to mold. Is there anything I can do to help me with the alcohol craving? I think it's related to mold. And I'll hang up because I don't know if I have a good connection here. I'll listen online.
Okay.
Okay.
It sounds like you might
Catherine.
Have a yeast problem, though. Could be yeast. I don't know.
Yeah, I would
agree.
What
do you think, Jill?
Yeast and alcohol both have toxic. Yeah, they have toxic byproducts called acetaldehyde, and they've actually right. measured in some people with fungal infections the blood alcohol content from the metabolic byproducts. And so there's this correlation with, if you think about your yeast that's flared is producing a little bit of alcohol in your body, you're actually craving that to keep it the status quo.
Right.
And as you start to treat, that'll drop. But I would totally agree with you, Dr. Kolb, is that it probably fungal dysbiosis in the gut or sinuses, and
mm-hmm.
I would for sure avoid all sugar and alcohol, and then you probably need to get on some natural antifungals.
Yeah, I actually, because we have huge levels of stuff in the body, I muscle test for Nystatin and oral solution, and for Diflucan, Nizoral, V-Fin, Lamisil, and Sporinox, and see what they test for. If you have normal liver function tests, and if you keep the patients on silymarin or a milk thistle product and don't allow them to do much Tylenol or alcohol, we've had very little problems. And the black box warnings on Nizoral have scared everybody, but they're not drug problems. They're actually biotoxin problems. So because I've got
totally
a
biotoxin,
biotoxin detox program.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You just need to make
like
sure
said,
that they're on a biotoxin detox program before you put them on the Nizoral. Nizoral, it's almost
absolutely.
Like Nizoral is too good a drug. It kills better than all the other ones, so it got a bad name. It's like.
Yep. I couldn't
and
agree
I often
more.
Have
I
to put them
on.
Right. I often have to put them on one Nizoral a day so that they don't get, you know, extensive die-off. And then the other thing, I think you probably know this, Jill, if they have severe heavy metal toxicity, it's hard to get rid of the biotoxins. They keep the biotoxins attached to everything, and they stay sick. So heavy
yeah.
metal detox is an important part of this. So
I
that's
completely
what we
agree.
Think.
And then for yeah. Catherine, I think you really need to get out of that environment because you can't really
yeah.
heal if you're continuing to be exposed.
And some people have to live in dry environments. Back in the 1940s, the doctors who had chronically ill patients with these symptoms would tell them to go to Arizona and retire, or even Nevada and retire.
Yeah.
You know, that was very common. The doctors didn't know why it worked, but they knew it worked. And I had one of my patients is from Incline Village, which is a mold exposure, a severe mold exposure.
Yeah.
And he was in Arizona. Well, he was in Atlanta, and he was pretty sick. And then he went to Arizona, and he was a lot well. And then he moved back. His wife was with a big company, you know, that she got moved. They got moved back here, and it started again, you know. He noticed that in Arizona, things were a lot better.
Yeah, there's really definitely areas in the U.S. that are much, much worse, cities that are damp and wet, known history of flooding or any. In fact, Boulder, Colorado used to be one of the best places you could be, and in 2013
yeah.
we had a major flood, and so I'm
oh,
seeing
no.
a real increase in patients who've been, you know, hurt by the mold because of that flood,
yeah.
so it's actually changed quite a bit since before that time, and then they spray a lot of flame retardants from the fires, and that's also increasing the toxic burden of patients in our area.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, a lot of women who have breast implants who have problems with them, they want more breast implants, obviously, because they got used to them, right? And
yeah.
so I always muscle test about what they can have. But women who've had water intrusion problems in their homes that still have problems will never muscle test for saline implants. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting.
Because silicone is actually more toxic, I mean, because the chemicals are coming
yeah.
out a lot more. But there's a real danger even to get it around the implant, any implant really, if you live in a moldy house. You breathe it in. This is how it happens. You breathe it in. It gets in your bloodstream, and we know this because of dark field microscopy, and then it settles on any foreign body. It's not that hard to understand. I mean, there's
yeah.
a biofilm around any foreign body eventually, especially if your blood's dirty. And then, you know, there's a whole science of biofilms. They form
right.
little communities, and they have parties. You know, they cross through resistances, and it's very, very difficult. That's why you have to remove the implant. You can't, and the capsule. You cannot sterilize a mold. And it's not really infected. It's just contaminated. You know,
exactly.
it's not like the invasive mold infection. You can't even grow the stuff out. Did you know that? You cannot grow
yeah.
it out. I tried to do
yeah.
DNA analysis of the capsules with some of the top mold experts in the world, and they finally said, Susan, this ain't working. You cannot grow this out. So we rely on something called a visual contrast sensitivity test, which, have you used that in your office? It's really
absolutely
helpful.
Yep.
And so if you only have mold on the right side, only the right eye is blurred, because the biotoxin stays on the same side, at least in breast implant disease. And so we can diagnose which chest wall or which sinus. Sometimes it's in the sinuses, too. So it's very, very important to know where it is so that you can, you know, make sure that implant comes out or whatever the implant is. Sometimes it's not breast implants, as you know.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. So what I've been getting TGF-beta-1s to differentiate between mold in the patient only and mold in the environment. Let me tell you what I found. If the mold's in the patient, the TGF-beta-1 is between 3 and 5,000, maybe 6,000. But if it's in the environment, it'll go up over 10,000. Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. And yeah, I agree with you. I love following that marker because that really tells me where to look and then even how to treat them. And you know that you're doing I always think of it as the ringleader of the immune dysfunction. And so if you can get that down, you really have a patient who's going to be stable and do well. And you probably noticed this too, but there's a high association with autoimmunity in TGF-beta. So many of these patients, as that goes really high, will have all kinds of autoimmune diseases and different presentations there. And as you can actually cure the autoimmune disease as you reduce the TGF-beta. Do you test for C4A as well?
Sometimes the patients come in with that. My patients don't tend to have a lot of money. And unless they're covered by insurance, I don't do a lot of lab testing because, see, I know what I have. I have to rule out mold in the environment because, of course, if I, you know, get them here and get their implants out, treat them with antifungals, they get well because they usually stay like 7 to 10 days to get their sutures and drains out. They really improve, and then I send them back to a moldy house, and guess what happens?
You know they're going to get sick.
So, you know, but they don't always know their house is moldy. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that there can be water intrusion problems inside walls that they're not aware of.
They will never know, exactly.
Exactly.
In fact, I can't tell you, or even the people who come in and say, oh, yeah, there's a little bit of black stuff on my kitchen, but that can't hurt me, can it? You know, they're so oblivious to the fact that this stuff is in the wrong
person.
Yeah.
Down the drains. Yeah. There's, you know,
or crawl spaces are notorious. Or, exactly.
So I muscle test for whether or not they need mold remediation, ozone will do it, or we have a cold diffuser where we put thieves oil. We got some thieves oil that was really cheap that can be diluted and put in these diffusers.
Wonderful.
And if you treat each level or each area for 3 days, you don't have to do it 3 days straight. You can break it up. But we tell them not to be in there or have pets in there when we treat it, just as a precaution.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably okay, but you never know with the thieves because there's a lot in thieves. Anyway, but I muscle test. Sometimes ozonation's better than thieves. Sometimes thieves is better than ozonation. But what I noticed is a lot of times when they go to do their taxes or go into their clothes, you know, trying to get their winter clothes out, that's when they get the exacerbation because the biotoxin's in the clothes and in the papers.
Yes, papers. Boy, in my experience, I don't know if you knew, but I had about 9 months ago a severe mold exposure, which is why I know so much about this. But part of that I moved offices that I thought was great, but until I got rid of my paper charts and scanned them, that continued to make me ill. So I personally realized the profound effect of that, and it was more just stubbornness that I didn't do it sooner. But my labs all normalized as soon as I got rid of those paper charts.
Wow, there you go. There you go.
Yep.
So it's extremely important, as you said before, to get rid of the mold exposure. Oh, you know what? I also muscle test for where it is. Guess what? Sometimes it's in the car.
Yes.
Sometimes the only mold exposure is in the car, but they go in the car every day, right? So they stay sick. And when they looked, it was so funny. One was not the house, not the work, but the car. And the husband came back and he said, you wouldn't believe what was in that car. I mean, there was like standing water in an area they couldn't see in the air conditioning system, and it was just all moldy. Isn't that interesting? That's why muscle testing is important, because if you don't muscle test, you will not know where the exposures are.
Yeah, I have a good remediator I work with, so I usually have him give him a call, and he's so good he can find it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're probably like detectives. That's true.
Exactly. And my guy knows building envelope and structure and construction defects, so he's more than just a mold guy. He kind of can tell, okay, what's the problem? How do we actually fix the root cause of the house?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else you want to tell the audience about mold before we move on to, I guess, chemical toxicity and heavy metal toxicity and the things that we pretty much know all Americans have unless they've done detox?
Yes. Well, the mold thing is just for patients and for your listeners, it's just important for people to be aware because so many people are so oblivious that this can be hurting their health. And if you smell a musty odor, that is almost guaranteed that's the volatile organic compounds that's put off by the fungi and mold. Mm-hmm. So if you have a musty basement or a musty room in your house or your car or your workplace, it's very, very likely there's an issue. And if you continue to feel sick in a place and then you feel better when you go on vacation, that's another clue. And as far as just things that you can do on your own, one of the number one things is obviously get out of the exposure. Number two would be some sort of a binder where you start to bind these things out and any ways mm-hmm. that you can do to enhance glutathione. And you can do that through precursors like N-acetylcysteine, or you can actually take oral or IV glutathione. And those are kind of the mm-hmm. basics to get back on track.
Let me share with you, Jill, what we do for biotox and detox here. If they sure. muscle test for it, the most important one is called Mold Sporox by Dr. Overman. Mold Sporox is 4 twice a day. It's an herbal he was a naturopath before he mysteriously died after the FBI raided his office anyway. But he was curing cancer was the problem. But basically, Dr. Overman came up with things that are absolutely amazing. So Mold Sporox, you can get it from Precision Herbs. If they don't muscle test from that, lipospheric glutathione and lipospheric vitamin C at levels equivalent to IV, which is usually 2 or 3 a day, are excellent. And then mm-hmm. butyrin is very important. Butyrin is a fatty acid that knocks the biotoxin off of the cell membrane, especially the neurological cell membrane. So if you have a lot of blurred vision, numbness, fasciculations, palpitations, you know, we've got these biotoxins right next to the heart, and we have all sorts of palpitations because the electrical system to the heart's being affected. I put them on butyrin. I have to do that 2 weeks after surgery, though, because it's a fatty acid and can affect clotting. And then Welbetix. I don't use cholestyramine. It has too many damn side effects. Mm-hmm. I use Welbetix because I found out from Michael Murray, who I interviewed, that it does the same thing. It'll take the biotoxins in the gut and bring it out. But really, the only people that need Welbetix are the ones that have environmental exposures. If it's just in you, the best thing to do is to do Mold Sporox, maybe butyrin, and if you're don't muscle test for the Mold Sporox, and I use the other ones. And then Reconistat, some people test better for Reconistat than lipospheric GSH. And as you know, that's just stabilized glutathione in a different form. So those are all my biotoxin detox secrets right there.
Wonderful. And, you know, I agree with you. I think cholestyramine has a ton of side effects, so I use that in really severe cases. But I love bentonite clay and charcoal as well. I found
really
those helpful.
Do great. Yeah, we use magnetic clay baths and a lot of that sort of thing too. But you know, really, we do have to get, especially when we're treating with antifungals or when there's environmental exposure, it's very, very important to have the patient on the biotoxin detox, because otherwise they can't get out of bed. And as you said, suicide risk and infection risk and probably cancer risk. You know, T-cell immunity is affected, so I would think, my patients with moldy breast implants all have their moles turning into melanoma. I mean, I'll biopsy 10 moles and 8 of them will be dysplastic. And they don't have a lot of sun exposure. You know, it's not like they lived in the sun.
Completely.
So they're turning cancerous, and God knows what else is turning cancerous. But if their moles are turning cancerous, you can be pretty sure other things are too.
Right.
So, yeah, it's real important. So let's go on to heavy metal. We mentioned earlier that if you have heavy metal toxicity, it's hard to do biotoxin detox. It's hard to get rid of the biotoxins. Do you know why that is? Have you discovered why that is?
Yeah, the mercury in fungal issues, like candida, for example, will actually take organic and make it into inorganic mercury, so it'll change the form.
Oh,
so they kind of hang together because there's this biological reason that the mercury can be, but it's obviously not good because neither one of those things are good for the body. But there's definitely a correlation with increased fungal and candida types of issues when there's heavy metals present. And you almost, like you said, you can't get rid of one without treating the other.
Yeah, so you got to get your mercury fillings out. You know, you can't have a bunch of cracked fillings. Now, not all mercury fillings are created equal. If you have a cracked filling, I had a great story to tell. I went to my dentist, and I'm kind of clairvoyant, and I said to her, I said, do you have loops? I had my loops around my leg. I said, do you have some loops? She says, yep. She went and got them. She said, look at my fillings. I had like 14 fillings in my mouth. Just horrible. Grew up on well water, you know. And so I said, look at my mouth. I said, I hear that some of my fillings are cracked. And they were. And she goes,
wow.
I said, I need these out and the plastics ones in. She said, that's okay. I need a facelift. So we did trade.
Beautiful.
Great story, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but that was not fun getting all of those out.
I did that several years ago too, and agreed it was not fun. Glad I did it, but it was not fun to go through.
So anyway, getting your mercury out one quadrant at a time by a dentist that knows what they're doing is important, and then detoxing the mercury is important because a lot of times you're not supposed to do a big mercury detox before you get the fillings out, just because it can be a little dangerous.
Yes. Yeah. If you mobilize those toxins and those patients don't have anywhere to put them if they can't detox well, you're actually worse off after the mobilization of the toxins.
Yeah. So what do you do for heavy metals? What's your favorite heavy metal protocols?
I have a 2-week process where I do 3 days on and 11 days off to restore and do that as many weeks as needed. So typically I'll use DMSA, but there's a lot of people, that's actually the rare that I go that. That's the most potent treatment. I also will use simple things like parsley, spirulina, chlorella. Quicksilver has some great homeopathics that work.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's so important versus putting them through a big heavy detox. We all need this daily detox. So I'm more into the teaching them how to do, you know, sauna, dry brushing, lymphatic drainage, bathing.
It's certainly easier. They don't get as sick. I don't do DMSA. I had one patient do it recently on her own, and she got deathly ill. And she emails me about, can she do this? Can she do that? I said, I don't use that. You know, I mean, I guess I could learn to use it, but I don't.
Well,
it's
rare. Yeah. I agree with you. It is very rare that I use it. So I completely, it's kind of like the ones I'm, you know, and they have to have gut and detox route. So kidney, liver, gut working really well.
Right.
So I can be working with a patient for 2 years to heal their gut before I'll even think about mobilizing metals.
Exactly. I always do heavy metals last. What I tend to do is, you know, Dr. Gordon is a friend of mine, and he developed IV chelation. He also developed oral chelation. So after the chemical, well, I do biotoxin first, okay, because we're treating with antifungals.
Right.
So I do biotoxin first. Then I do chemical and silicone detox, but that's of the things in the implants, you know, the specific things, the hydrophobic chemicals. There's an electrolysis foot bath that works very, very well for hydrophobic chemicals that Dr. Overman developed. It's a foot bath that you hook up the harmonic quad to and put ozone in the water. I've had a bunch of workman's comp patients that were doused in chemicals that had chemical burns. I put them in this foot bath, and the whole room smells like the chemicals. So hydrophobic chemicals, I use the electrolysis foot bath from Precision Herbs. And then, you know, of course, if they buy the ozonator, they can use it in their house too. And then the harmonic quad is good for parasites, viruses, and intracellular infections. And most of them have at least one of those. And then aqua detox or ionic foot baths get rid of heavy metals, so we usually do that after surgery. Silicone, by the way, never have a silicone patient do an ionic foot bath. They get deathly ill. And I guess it's because it pulls chemicals through them. But they do. They don't do well at all. You can have a saline patient do it because those are just the chemicals in the shell. It's breaking down slowly. But methylethyl ketone is in that shell. And if the patient if it depletes arginine and therefore nitric oxide, they develop Raynaud's syndrome. So the treatment for Raynaud's is kind of interesting. It's electrolysis hand or foot baths to get out the methyl ethyl ketone, and then either cyano-nitro extreme, which Dr. Shealy likes. I asked him which one he liked the best. He said that one. Or high doses of arginine, like 5 grams a day. And I don't know why they test for one and not the other, but it's one or the other. And then their Raynaud's go away in 100% of the cases. Mm-hmm. So there's the cure for Raynaud's right there.
Yep.
So you got to know the cause. Methyl ethyl ketone. I asked
exactly.
Dr. Staninger, and she said, I said, why do all my patients have Raynaud's? She says, oh, well. You got to have a toxicologist on speed dial. That's what I see.
Exactly, right? Wow, I would have not known the chemicals in breast implants for the saline silicone.
So those, you know, there's also a liquid needle body soaks. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I have not.
That'll get silicone out. You know, some of your patients might not have breast implants, but they've got that HLA B27 or HLA DR53 or 54, and they can't take any silicone. Which is in fabric softener and is
right.
in a whole bunch of things. Skincare products, dimethicone is a silicone. And it goes right into the skin because it's hydrophobic. So, you know, it'll even go through gloves. And some people spray silicone for crafts and they breathe it in and they get silicone poisoning. So if you need to get rid of silicone, liquid needle body soaks is one of the best ways to do that. And the problem is you can't get it right now. From the company. We bought it all. The FDA came in and shut them down on that. But we bought the entire stock. We have a whole room full of liquid needle body soaks. So if you want liquid needle body soaks, contact us. We sell it at 15% below retail. Yeah. So I just remembered we bought it all. So. But anyway, we're the number one users in the country. So
excellent.
Obviously.
I can believe it because it's amazing.
So heavy metal detox is very important. And the only people I've ever found that don't have heavy metal detox didn't grow up in the U.S. Did you know that?
Yeah. Europe is so much less toxic in some of these. Yeah. Even their food supply. Have you ever had patients go over there and they could eat things they couldn't eat here and they feel so good? They come back to the U.S. and our food supply is so adulterated.
Exactly. Well, you know, I have a doctor here that's a NAIT practitioner. And he says that a lot of people who have wheat allergies actually have glycophosphate allergy. And if you do NAIT for the glycophosphate, that goes away. I mean, some don't. Some actually have, you know, the other problems. But that's an easy one to fix, although you probably shouldn't be eating glycophosphate for chemical reasons. You know?
Yeah.
You know, there's probably other reasons you don't want to eat that. I do want to mention how mold... And, I mean, all of these things are very politically incorrect. Mold, GMO, chemtrails, all of that. Anybody who's doing research or trying to publish in these areas often have very unusual attacks and very unusual things happen to them. They can lose their medical license. Both Campbell and Shoemaker had to turn their medical license over. So my word of advice out there, if any doctors are listening, don't publish in this area. At all. Don't publish in Morgellons. I interviewed a doctor in Canada who lost his medical license because he wrote just a one case history on Morgellons and published it, and they took his medical license.
It sets you up as a target, sadly.
It does. So, but anyway, I think there's reasons for all of that. We won't go into it here, but it's very politically incorrect. Because if mold is real, if this disease is real, and it really causes fibromyalgia. I mean, people say they don't know the cause of fibromyalgia, but that's not true. It's either mold, yeast, biotoxins of some sort, because you can get biotoxins without having mold in your body, or intracellular infection, usually mycoplasma and spirochete.
Or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth is a big cause as
Exactly. That's a big one. I have a patient with that right now that I don't know a lot about that, but she's a researcher. She's a biologist, a PhD. So she's bringing me all the research.
Wonderful.
So what do you do with that?
Yeah,
so
the testing really is stool tests will not show it. So you have to do a breath test for methane and hydrogen with the lactulose solution. And if the methane is greater than 3 or the hydrogen is greater than 20 or the combination is greater than 15, then they have it. And there's basically two different tracks. If they have hydrogen predominant SIBO, it can be treated with either an antibiotic course of Xifaxan, which, as much as I hate antibiotics, Xifaxan has been shown
it
not
works
to disrupt
well
the normal.
For that, yeah.
Exactly. So I use it, and that's
we're on
that
our second
great
course
we're,
with her.
Yeah, and that works well for the hydrogen predominant. But if you have methane predominant, Xifaxan alone won't treat it. So I'll typically use Xifaxan plus neomycin for 14 days. And then the other piece, you have to look underneath and say, is there a motility issue? Do you have to, you know, work on either with physical therapy or with motility agents like Iberogast, a German homeopathic, is a good motility. Or you can do low-dose erythromycin or low-dose naltrexone. But that motility has to be addressed, because if they have a stagnation, they kind of get the biofilms and the, I think of it as pond scum, where they're just, you know, building up in the small bowel and not clearing out that bacteria.
I want to tell a little bit about her story, because I think it illustrates what people need to be aware of. I think she had silicone. She was toxic. She, you know, probably had a methylation defect. I didn't know it at the time, but we got her implants out. We detoxed her. She got 100% better. She was like, she said she was running, and I mean, running like, you know, 3 miles, and I mean, that kind of shape, you know, I mean, better shape than I am. And then she went in, and even though she had an armband on saying that she was allergic to the flu shot, somebody gave her the flu shot when she was in the hospital. And she crashed. She crashed and burned. And she has not been able to get well. She was living in another state. She came to Georgia just to be close to me to try to get better. You know, I mean, it's I need to send her out to you in Colorado. She is... And her main problem is small bowel intestinal overgrowth. I mean, is what she thinks is the main problem. I mean, she definitely has the heavy metal problem from the vaccine, but you know, that just shows the danger here.
Yeah.
One flu shot. Okay, and the wrong HLA type.
And the wrong person, exactly.
The wrong person. That's right.
I always tell people, they ask me about that, and I say, well, if you can look at the label and there's no aluminum and there's no, you know, yeast derivatives and there's no thimerosal, go ahead and get it. And obviously, you and I know that there's none out there that don't
there's
have aluminum.
There's none out there.
So then,
well, they took the thimerosal out and put aluminum in,
right,
which is, you know.
Exactly, which might be worse. I've seen some of the
it
data
might
that
be
shows
worse,
aluminum.
Yeah. You can get Alzheimer's.
Right.
Oh, we were fooling around with the cause of Alzheimer's. You want to hear what we got?
Sure.
Very interesting. Two causes. Now, not the vascular stuff. The vascular disease, just that's a different disease. I mean, it may look like Alzheimer's, but it's not Alzheimer's. Bad fish and bad meat. If you look in Discover magazine, there was a story about an island where the natives were eating bats, and the bats were eating cyanobacter, and everybody got Alzheimer's. Okay, so cyanobacter produces a toxin, and in the article, it's actually in there. So what I need you to do, Jill, is figure out how to detox that toxin and let me know, okay? Because that's important.
Sure.
I don't know how you detox that toxin, but you got to get it out of the brain. The other one is prion disease, and there's actually a cure for prion disease. Dr. Overman came up with it. It's a combination of the harmonic quad, prion X, and prion heal. He actually has a protocol to heal prions. Now, we did muscle testing. We determined that 75% of the U.S. population has been exposed to prions. Not everybody's going to get sick, though, because, but what's weird is I was exposed at the same time as some of my family members were exposed, and my cousin, who's just 3 years older than me, was diagnosed with prion disease in Hopkins intensive care unit right before he died. So I treated my other cousin with the protocol, you know. Plus, I had been treated with the protocol a long time ago because the clairvoyance that I went to told me that I was exposed to prions. So I immediately started trying to figure that out. So if that's true, there's only two causes of Alzheimer's, bad fish and bad meat. So get out your pendulum, and before you eat meat or fish, use your pendulum. So anyway.
Fascinating.
isn't it? But I still need that detox. Will you call me when you figure it out? Discover Magazine.
I will.
Yeah, really. It concentrates in the brain, and it's cyanobacter. And there is, it's something interesting. I never muscle test for blue-green algae products, never. And I wonder it's because I had prion exposure, and that's the other pathway to Alzheimer's. It's really weird.
Well,
people give me this stuff,
the other...
and I know not to take it, and I muscle test very poorly for any blue-green algae product.
Boy, and you know
so
why?
Know.
Because they're often contaminated with that toxin from freshwater, Fisteria, I believe it is, and that's
uh-huh.
a known biotoxin that contaminates blue-green algae. So if you're someone
yeah.
who has HLA susceptibles and mold, you're going to be susceptible. Like, I agree with you. I'm the same way. I cannot take blue-green algae and would never touch it because it has a biotoxin. For people who are susceptible
yeah.
to mold.
Well, I don't test for it. That could be it.
Yep.
So anyway, these detoxification defects, I guess it was just really in the last 5 years that they've become prominent. Isn't that about right? MTHFR. When did you first learn about that?
Yeah, so I would say it's been in the last 5 years for sure. And of course, then on the internet, and you know, people are searching and testing, and I think the key thing, MTHFR there's a couple of high risk genes. One is C677T, and the other is A1298C. C677T has more clinical relevance, so people will have more problems with converting folic acid into the active methylfolate with that one versus with the A1298C. So you can have either one copy of each, you can have one copy of one or one copy of the other, or you can have two copies of each, and they all vary in their ability to, you know, inhibit the methylation process. And I always think of it as you don't want to just treat the genes, but those are such a foundation to people who, you know, have trouble with toxic types of illness and things. And I'm sure like you, your population as well as mine, even though it's only about one third of the U.S. population that has MTHFR genetic mutations, I see a huge, I'd say like 80% of my patients have it because they're all really sick.
Mm-hmm.
So it does play into it. The problem is you can't just give methylfolate. A lot of people would do worse if they aren't supported with the other things like riboflavin or methyl B12 or all kinds of the other pieces of the methylation cycle. So unfortunately, it's not like a one-size-fits-all. A lot of people on the internet are reading that they just take methylfolate and they'll be fine, and that's just not true.
No, they'll
it's
get
way
sick
more complex.
If they take methylfolate every day. They get viruses.
Exactly.
And what's interesting, I interviewed the father of homocysteine on this radio show. I mean, he really is. He's like the guy that, he's like in his 80s, and he knows more about homocysteine than anybody on the planet. And I said to him, I said, you know, like I have this product called Methyl CPG. It has methylated B12 and folate and B6 and some riboflavin. And I said, you know, if we give this every day, the patients get really sick with viruses, but they muscle test for it twice a week. He said, I had no idea. I said, never give methylfolate every day. That's what, I mean, I just learned that through muscle testing. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. But boy,
yeah.
I don't do muscle testing, but I agree with you 100%. I always tell people it's this bell-shaped curve that's really narrow, and you can go right over the top of that curve very easily if you just take a daily dose. So it is one of those things the patient has to become really aware. I always tell them, you know, if they're low, they're going to be tired, depressed, sad, low neurotransmitters, low detox, but too much, they'll be irritable, anxious, insomnia, and maybe some muscle pain. So it is kind
of... I give them MSM
for
muscle donor, I mean, for methyl donors, because they've got all these chemicals they need to detox. I either put them on one methyl CPG a week if they're small, you know. If they weigh a whole bunch, I'll put them on three. It's dependent on weight, and I muscle test which one. And then, and basically, if their methylation defect isn't too bad, once you fix it, they can even have breast implants back in that aren't silicone, you know, smooth saline. They muscle test to have them back in. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that breast implants will decrease the risk of breast cancer fourfold? So if somebody has a high risk of breast cancer, their body will want breast implants.
Interesting. Wow.
Isn't that,
interesting? That
you know, things aren't always evil just because they cause problems in some people. They're just not, you know. Yeah, I have people that really test strongly for breast implants because they have such a high cancer risk. You know, the BRCA genes and everything.
Yeah. Now, do you have a good product that's very low toxicity? Have you found something that works with low silicone or low, or do you use saline preferentially? What would be your probably depends on the individual.
I can't say on the air, but there's only two manufacturers of saline implants, and one of them has 90% of the valve defects. Now, any saline implant can get mold around it if you're in a moldy environment. Remember I said you breathe it in, it lands on it.
Yes.
But one of the valves doesn't work well, and they get it inside, and they can get it right away, or they can get it in 3 years, or they almost always get it by 10 years. So, and any chest wall trauma, car wreck or bad mammogram or, you know, boyfriend squeezing them really hard, they're going to get sick.
Yeah.
And that's monsters inside me. I was on that twice with mold and breast implants. So nobody muscle tests for that implant. The other implant, you know, some do, but not if you have mold in your environment. And then the safest, this is interesting because they just got taken off the market, but there's three implant manufacturers, Allergan, Mentor, and Sientra. And Sientra is a newcomer. But I just got a letter yesterday. Sientra has withdrawn because their manufacturing plant got shut down. And they don't believe their implants are affected, but, you know, it's one of these things where everything's shut down while they do the investigation. And I don't either, because everybody's muscle testing for Sientra implants. But my advice is not to get textured. A lot of people who have breast reconstruction have textured implants, but that texturing flakes off and gets in your lymphatics and gets in your lymph nodes and has been associated with a rare lymphoma. So I wouldn't do texturing. I don't think it's worth it. What people muscle test for is either smooth Sientra or sometimes the other ones, depending on if we can get their methylation defects fixed. And I really just, like I told you before we started, I need to learn about all of these detoxification defects, the sulfonation defects, and I'm sure all of them are problematic because they can't detox the chemicals coming out of these implants.
Yes. Now, one interesting thing, Pearl, that you might I found is the CDFG mutation,
instead of being downregulated, it's
actually usually, not always, but most of the time upregulated. And what that causes is this excess sulfur. So I don't know if you've had patients, obviously, just a typical sulfur drug allergy that could be the patient, but if they don't tolerate sulfur like MSM or NAC or any of these, or lipoic acid, often they have trouble with that upregulation of CBS and they're producing too many sulfites. And they do really well with a little bit of molybdenum, and that'll help detox and make that into the sulfur that doesn't really bother them. It's the sulfites that cause the problem. So like a milligram of molybdenum
and yeast,
will help a
yeast
lot.
Yeast depletes that mineral. So
yes.
And they all have yeast infections. I just had a
bad
sulfur allergy. I'm still having rashes, and I'm on high doses of Mobilinium and MSM. And then now I'm allergic to Bactrim, which is just great. Listen, we're at the end of our hour. I'd love to have you back on, though. We have a lot more we can talk about, so we'll set that up. But would you like to real quick give your contact information?
Sure, and thanks again for having me. I have so enjoyed talking to you, and I look forward to talking to you again, Dr.
Yeah,
Cole.
That'd be great.
My website is Jill Carnahan, CARNAHAN.com. I have tons of free resources. I write articles, all kinds of information there. And I do have a free newsletter just for anyone who's interested that goes out about every month on just topics and blogs and all kinds of fun stuff that I find helpful for patients. So if you're listening and want to know more, I'd love for you to visit my website and sign up for my free newsletter.
Well, great. Thanks so much for joining us, Jill, and hopefully we'll get you back on because we've got some other things we need to discuss. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Donna Smith Moncrieve on physical mediumship. She wrote a book, a scientific-based book, Medium 7, on what mediumship is. And then Peter Sterling, who's a musician, will be on the next week, Hear the Angels Sing. And then we're going to interview Andrew Rostenberg on Beyond MTHFR. And he's going to educate me on these detoxification defects, I hope. Anyway, this is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Thanks for joining us, and join us next week.